How many have already completed 16 rounds? Fantastic. I won't ask the next question. Very good. So you're well on your way to more than 32 rounds. Let's see. The Tyagi boys, they're generally at 64 no matter what. Even if it's a 32 round day. I don't know. Flickering mind. Could we, Subal, these two big lights, can they go down? So this is, by design, it's intended to be a very short class, so we can get back to with our chanting activity. It's meant to be kind of a reminder of many of the things that we've said and some simple points that hopefully will be helpful as you proceed, and not only today, but going into the future. Because the flickering mind is something that we all contend with. Arjuna was contending with it. Chanchala, hi mana. Mind, the mana is flickering. To control the mind is more difficult than controlling the wind. But the yoga process is to control the mind. And conversely, without controlling the mind, can you progress in anything? Anything? Material, spiritual? Certainly not spiritual and even material. So that's, we want to get rid of the flickering mind and have the controlled mind. One of the basic teachings from the Vedic text is that mind has these two functions, accepting, rejecting. Sankalpa, vikalpa. Even as the mind is making a plan, whether you're chanting or not chanting, when the mind is making a plan to do something, even as the mind is making the plan to do something, there's the mind going, well, shifting and changing. They're accepting and rejecting is going on all the time. And the real interest of the soul is lost because of that noise. We heard several times this verse from Uddhava Gita. I'm now going to read the BBT translation, which we've been hearing Bhanu Swami's Bhakti Sandarbha translation. And the emphasis that I'm going to make here is different. The phrase Jata Shraddha is the opening Sanskrit portion of the verse. And we heard several times the awakening of Shraddha. So when there's the awakening of Shraddha in the process of hearing the topics of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, then certain things we heard, I will repeat. So here's the emphasis here is even with that, there's still the flickering mind, the distraction of the mind towards the temporary, being the enjoyer of the temporary. It subsides, potentially at least, subsides by the process of hearing, the awakening of faith in the hearing process. So here's the BBT translation. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. My devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So the distractions are, in generally speaking, contemplation of being the enjoyer, and then making the plan, thinking, feeling, willing those functions, and then changing it and refining it and redefining it and living on the platform of the mind. Those are the distractions. So that's the flickering mind, and something that helps is the power of regulation. It's a mode of goodness principle to be regulated as opposed to not, and making some kind of vow. It happens even early in the practice of chanting. You know, chant one round a day. Chant two rounds a day. Chant four rounds a day, etc. And be consistent. That consistency, the power of regulation, helps the flickering mind become less flickering. There's power in that vrata. The phrase at the bottom, this is from the verses written describing the six Goswamis, and it's often quoted, this particular phrase, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi. Sankhya means counting. So they, the perfectly liberated souls, were engaged in counting because they made a vrata. And so they would count. Perhaps you remember from Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to travel in South India, the appeal was made by Lord Nityananda. With one hand you have your beads, and the other hand you have that which is counting your chanting. So who's going to carry your cloth? So can take somebody to carry your cloth and your water pot, because you're going to always be counting. That's Lord Chaitanya. And the Goswamis and the followers of the Goswamis were trying to become followers. So, Sankhya, and there's a power in that vrata to complete. There's a nice statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. Now, that's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Another message was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, great scholar, philosopher, logician, became a devoted follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he knew A to Z scripture. He asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he had become a devotee, of all the different beneficial things to be done that help one make spiritual progress, what is the most important? And the most important is one thing, chanting the holy name. There he said, in many places it said, constantly. So if you can't chant constantly, at least 16 rounds, if you're strictly following, at minimum 16 rounds, that's our vow at the time of initiation, and prior to that we work towards it and try to maintain that before initiation and after this. It's of all the regular principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. That's a good one to remember for the rest of your life. There's a little story I heard about a Vrindavan sadhaka. Although he was a Babaji, he was very strict in his sadhana. Some Babajis aren't, but he was. And he lived to be quite an elderly person, and this is near contemporary personality. I've never met the person. I just heard from local devotees that as he became older and older, it was more and more difficult for him to maintain his namavrata, his Gayatris, and his chanting of the holy name. When it got to that stage, kind of like Grandfather Bhishma or Haridas Thakur, he just, what's the use of this body? And he left his body. Because what's the usefulness of the body without the name? He was so strongly absorbed in the name that the senses in the mind followed the name. We find this example also in the description of Raghunath Das Goswami. Hear that in a moment. This is from a previous presentation, but the ability to stay connected to one's heart space requires steadiness in our faith and practice. Two things, faith and practice. That nishtha that leads to steadiness, that leads to taste, attachment, bhava and prema. That steadiness from the heart, connecting from the heart, it comes with faith and practice. We heard this nice definition of faith. Faith in the bhakti process. There's within it, embedded within it is ruchi, some taste. Preliminary taste, a shadow of the real taste. So that's that kind of faith. And then continuing practice. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the description given by Krishna Das Kaviraj, who had Raghunath Das's association, not only had his association, he heard from him every day for several hours, for a long time. He described that his practices were like lines on a stone. Pa sha nera reka. Lines in a stone. So lines in a stone don't move. I mean, eventually. But normally or within our lifetime, they don't move. Some other things may move, but stone and lines in stone don't move. So he offered obeisances 100 times every day. He circumambulated Govardhan Hill. He kept his nama vrata. He had vratas. He would go around Radha Kund. Those of you that have been can picture in your mind. And whenever he would see Vaishnavas, he would pay obeisances. Now, what would probably the Vaishnavas would say? No, no, we pay obeisances to you. And he would say, no, no, I pay obeisances to you. That was his vrata. Like lines in a stone. Did he need to do that? No. Was it just to teach others a lesson? Well, it was teaching others a lesson, but it was more than that. It was his heart. And that's how he lived his life. He was so absorbed in his nama vrata, his lines in a stone practice. We saw this image before. One lion, or tiger, whichever it is, came to drink water at Radhakund, and he was so absorbed, didn't even notice. But Sanatana Goswami was standing behind, and he noticed, and after the, whatever it is, tiger, left. Raghunath, please build a bhajan kutir. You're making Krishna protect you. That's not good. We want to serve Krishna. That make Krishna protect you. So his reply was, yes, yes. And he didn't. So another time, blasting heat. You know, there's a global warming, but it was pretty warm, I'm sure, during the time of the Goswamis, in the midday sun in the summer. His body was being roasted in the midday sun. So Radharani came, extending her garment, and provided shade for Raghunath Das. And from her body, perspiration, you see this puddle, pool of perspiration moving towards Radha Kund, until the heat of the midday sun shifted a bit, and then she removed her garment and went away, just shading her dear devotee. And Raghunath Das didn't even notice Radharani, but Sanatana Goswami in the background there, he noticed, and afterwards, that's it. You're the servant of Krishna, and now Radharani is serving you? We're building you a bhajan kutir. Like lines in a stone. From Bhagavad Gita, same understanding. Bhagavad Gita 8:8. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Abhyasa is this practice. That's the topic for the moment. And abhyasa yoga yuktena, Prabhupada's translation, word for word, is being engaged in meditation. Yukta in general means being engaged, but specifically here is being engaged in meditation. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. Chetasa, with intelligence and mind, both, because mind isn't going to remain fixed if the intelligence isn't acting properly. And nanyagamina, in Prabhupada's word for word, is without being deviated. Practice that's not deviated. Now, that's the no distraction program. But it takes practice. And it takes faith. That's the process. Cultivate the minds consistently attending to the name in a pleasing and submissive mood. So this is a repeat of something earlier, this mood of service or attending. This is Sanchinandan Swami's phrase, attending to the name. We had this nice discussion about receiving. But there's also the doing, the submission. In our philosophy, there must be some endeavor. That's this abhyasa or prayasa, but it's a spiritual endeavor, and that spiritual endeavor is the submission. And then there's and service. Attending to. And then there's the eagerness for mercy. Because the name sees that submission and bestows mercy in the form of a taste. This is an image of a path in a forest. So how did that path in the forest get there? It happened just by some person or persons going up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down in the middle of the forest, and eventually became a path in the forest. So when we come along, there's this path in the forest. So our mind is accustomed to being flickering, and we have to go up and down and up and down these instructions, abhyasa yoga yuktena, and then there's a path. The the intelligence sees the path, the mind goes down the path, the legs go down the path, and off we go. The path of cetasananyagamina. Earlier in the month of June, I took a little reading retreat, and it was a really quiet place. It was really fantastic. And there was a lake right behind where I was staying, and I was a little distracted by this mother duck, and there was either 12 or 15 little ducklings, and she would go this way and then lined up one after the next. They would follow right behind her. She turned left, they turned left. She turned right, they turned right. She went up on the bank of the lake, and they got up on the bank of the lake, and they were just behind Mama Duck. And there was one little guy at the very end. He was kind of like cool. He delayed. And then everybody went ahead, and then he scooted up and stood in line and went along, and then delayed, playful. Then went real fast and caught up to everybody. He just kept doing that. Then I went back to what I was doing instead of just. But the impression, I was meditating on this festival of the Holy Name, seeing this, and just, that's what we're doing. I mean, if we're doing it properly, we're just following the great souls. If we're doing things properly, we're following great souls. They're giving us these wonderful instructions. So we just follow behind them. Not imitate, but we follow their nice example. The Raghunath Das Goswami example, or the six Goswamis example, or our founder Acharya's example, or the great souls. And we follow them. So now, going to wrap up. There's a little summary step by step of what I've been trying to share with our attendees here. Little summary. The first point is the bhakti process, or the chanting process, begins with some preliminary faith. We heard a preliminary desire for self-realization. I want to know who I am. I want to know whatever the fill in the blank. I want to know. And I know that I don't know, but I know that I want to know. So in my case, it was, there's a higher reality. I don't know what it, I know that I don't know what it is. I know that a lot of people also don't know what it is. And they profess to know what it is. But I know there is, and I want to know it. I want to experience it. I want to be connected with that higher reality, whatever it is. According to Prabhupada's explanation of these stages of bhakti, this adau shraddha, comes, Krishna sees that and sends some sadhu, someone that is at least is carrying that wisdom, and they transmit it nicely. And then when that bhakta or sadhu gives some bhakti, then the bhajana kriya stage begins. And then there's some this numerical strength. Try chanting one round a day, etc. So numerical strength. And the encouragement that we've been hearing is with faith that it's going to take me to a good place. To knowing who I am, or knowing that higher reality, or whatever it is, that inquisitiveness. And the other word here is reverence. This has to do with something I found in Tattva Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. And he explains abhyasa, or this namavrata, this Patanjali gives this really simple definition for something to be considered practice or abhyasa or sadhana. It has to have these three elements. Dirgha, prolonged, Dirga Kala, for a prolonged period of time, something you do Nairantarya, uninterruptedly, you do every day for a long period of time. And then Satkara, with reverence, with this, with confidence, it's going to take me to where I want to go. And if any one of these three is missing, then it's not sadhana or it's not abhyasa. All three of them must be there, according to Patanjali. He's the authority in yoga. And specific to the practices of yoga, these are the three elements. Sevita, this is this attending to, or cultivating, or practicing, and Vridha Bhumi, you become grounded. It becomes an established fact in your life. Practice becomes firmly established when it has been cultivated uninterruptedly and with devotion over a prolonged period of time. Jiva Goswami has a lot to say about that. I won't give a Tattva-Sandarbha class. Part of his reason for saying this is there's all this glorification of the name. It's sufficient to do so many things, then just chant one name. Finished. So why prolonged? So he refers to this verse, Patanjali, and says it's because of the anartas in the heart. They're very difficult to get on the other side of. Very stubborn, very pernicious, very difficult. It's not, the problem is not out there, the problem is not the bhakti process, the problem is the heart. And the impurities of heart, the anartas in the heart. So therefore, all of that potency it's likened to the power of the sun and then the clouds in the sky. The clouds in the sky don't diminish the power of the sun. But our experience of the power of the sun is diminished because of the clouds. And similarly, the anartas in the heart diminish our experience of the power of the name. So we have to deal with the anartas in the heart. And therefore, practice is required. Three things. Cultivated interruptedly, that is, every day, for a prolonged period of time with faith or with devotion or with reverence towards the object, Vishaya, the name, with attending to the name. So, it's good to you're going to do something regularly, you manage time. And it's really good if you can manage your time such that you can chant early in the morning. But, you know, time management is difficult for busy people and certainly difficult for distracted people because we have so many roles and responsibilities and stuff. So there's time management. That's an image that I use when I speak about time management. The spiritual approach. And so there's a pitcher or a jar, a jug, and then, you know, the teaching is there's big stones, then there's medium stones, and then there's smaller stones, and then there's pebbles and sand, and they'll all fit. What goes in first? The big stone goes in first. You do it the other way, they won't all go in. So what's that big stone? It's time management. What's the most important thing? We're sometimes too busy to ask the question. What's really important to me? Deep, deep, deep inside. And then, you know, you get layers and layers and layers. And just like I was sharing this, yoga studio owner in Chengdu. I thought it was this and I tried that on for a while. That wasn't it. So what's really important? What's my mission in life? who am I? Or in Sanatana Goswami's terms, what am I? Ke ami. So if we're clear what's really important, then we can do our time management accordingly. We just, everything goes around, the big rock goes in first. Okay, so that's, we're all the way up to number three. We're going to get to eight. Sharanapati, we saw this term. This is one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's terms. Sharana means surrender. And apati means achieving. Sharanapati is achieving, so we strive to achieve. There's sharanagati, striving to achieve, and then achieving. And achieve through association of devotees, and then cultivate this shraddha, which was at the beginning, but shraddha in bhakti is bhakti shraddha, which is endowed with ruchi for bhakti, culminates in the symptoms of bhakti. We won't get symptoms of bhakti. We'll get now you see it, now you don't symptoms, but permanent symptoms are in this sharanapati stage. Now still the mind is flickering, and so we understood from Bhaktisiddhanta the importance of hearing. Now this is a receiving and an active effort. It's an act of trying to hear and recognizing it's beyond my power because my mind is more so out of control. Then we appeal for mercy. And when we can actually hear, this is another stage of try it as soon as we finish. We'll do some chanting. Just hear. This was a very strong message from the last festival, Holy Name. It's being repeated now. Just hear. And when you hear, the ear has the power to conquer the mind, the flickering mind. And, you know, it comes and it goes. We keep practicing that path in the middle of the forest, this Satchinandan Swami illustration and message of alignment. We discussed this last festival, Holy Name, so just a reminder, not going to go into the details. But sit in a proper posture, attend to the articulation of the sound and the hearing, orient the mind towards receiving the mercy of Krishna, the heart from the position of trying to please Krishna and the treasure that's at the center is awakened. Then our acharyas described when the ear is hearing, the mind becomes conquered, and then we can understand, this is Bhaktisiddhanta, that the name and the person are the same. And this Nama Prabhu is a person who or with whom we can have a relationship, which is the theme of what this festival, Holy Name, is. And the Holy Name, Rupa Goswami says, enters into the courtyard of the heart. And when the Holy Name enters into the courtyard of the heart, according to Rupa Goswami, we'll have to wait and find out. But he says this is what happens. The mind becomes conquered and the senses become inert. And it's just hearing and being in our relationship with the Holy Name. So we've been emphasizing from the very beginning, chant from the heart, from that place of shelter in the name. And then the developing of our relationship with the living name becomes accessible. There's steps. That's where the steps are taking us. So, begin with the end in mind, right? That saying is there. That's the end. And then there's step by step by step towards the goal. So we have this opportunity to connect with Krishna in his vachaka form, the form of Krishna in the form of his name, and make our way to Goloka, sitting right here in Kishore Kishori's temple room, in the association of other devotees who are on a similar journey. So we can take energy from those devotees who are similarly absorbed, take energy from the deity form of the Lord, from Tulsi Maharani, who somebody will kindly set up Tulsi's, these two, here in the temple room. And happy journey. And I'll compliment you all in that little break in between when the kirtan ended and class began. You were maintaining Monavrata. Congratulations. So as soon as we're done, maintain Monavrata. When it's time for prasadam, maintain Monavrata. And then when the bell rings, according to what the schedule says, then you can do what we normally do, just have regular conversation. But until then, it will help you. Controlling the tongue will help in focusing the mind on the holy name. And if there's needed conversation, you do needed conversation very quietly to respect the other devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Nama Prabhu ki. Gaur Premanandi.